on this final night of the year, we look to God. We prepare our hearts and we prepare our minds to hear, to receive a final word in 2025. And as I was preparing, there's a burden on my heart that I sense that God wants me to share this word with you today. You know, we stand on the threshold of a new year and we pray and ask God to speak a word for us, a word that brings closure to this year, and a word that prepares us for what's coming ahead of us in 2026. And I ask that you would pray for me today as I bring God's word, as this broken vessel brings God's word to you today. Amen. We're going to be looking from Joshua chapter 5. Joshua is a great book which talks about transition. We hear how the Lord leads his people in times of transition. Amen. It tells about a people who are beginning the dawning of a new day. They are beginning new, they are looking into their lives, a new beginning for themselves. Amen. And today, there is a word that I believe God would speak to our hearts. I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. I'm going to try to read it a little bit fast. So hang in there with me. And this is what it says. It says, "So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, when they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and they were, that there was no spirit in them. There was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. As they saw them, they were intimidated by them." Verse 2 says that at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time." So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. Verse 4 says, "And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt." Verse 5, "For all the people who came out, they had been circumcised. But all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord saw that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their forefathers, that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey." Verse 7, "Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed." Verse 9, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from among you. I have removed that reproach that you've been carrying over you, that reproach that has been hanging over your life. I've rolled it away,' God says. 'Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day of the after the Passover, unleavened bread and purged grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year." Amen. Father, thank you for your word. There is a word for us in there. And we pray that you speak to us, Spirit of God. Speak, for your servants are listening. At the threshold of 2026, speak to somebody today. In Jesus' name, amen. Churches, we hang out on those verses. I want to close this year by talking about preparing for a new day before the clock strikes midnight. How do you prepare? Prepare for the new day that God is giving you. Prepare for that day that's ahead of you. In Joshua chapter 5, Israel stand on the edge of a fresh new season that God is giving them. They come a long way. Remember, once they were once enslaved in Egypt, and they cried out for deliverance, and God heard their cry. And the Bible says that and God heard their cry. And when God heard their cry, he delivered them. He raised up his servant Moses to lead them out, and he was going to lead the people out. Moses died. Joshua becomes the new leader. And God tells Joshua something Joshua needs to hear. And this is what he says. He says that the same way I was with Moses, I am going to be with you. He's saying there's no secret about how I do things. The way I was with Moses, I am going to be with you. If I did it for Moses, Joshua, I am going to do it for you. The same way God opened the Red Sea for Moses, Joshua, I am going to open the Jordan for you. I'm going to open the Jordan River. And the children of Israel cross over on dry land across the Jordan River. And the waters close behind them. And again, it's important that you see Jordan is behind them and Jericho is in front of them. Now we know, when we look at that passage, all we know about the walls of Jericho coming down. But we don't know what God required them to do. We don't know what God told them and what they had to do in order for the walls of Jericho to be brought down. And so Jordan is behind and they're looking at Jericho. They're probably terrified. They're probably excited about what's coming ahead. And God says, everything I did in the wilderness was to prepare you for, to get you ready for what's about to happen right now in Jericho. And here they are, like you and me, standing in position of readiness to walk into a new day, to walk into a new season, believing that better was right in front of them, that in the season they would see fulfilled promises, that God would show himself strong, that God would come through for them. They would experience mountains being moved. They would experience weapons that were formed against them being annihilated. God would deal with their enemies, and they are hoping for something better. They are looking forward that God, surely 2026 would be better. 2026 will be a blessing. And so they're looking to God and they are believing God. They are believing that better was right in front of them, that they would see God handle their enemies. Amen. And why would they have this audacity to believe that God would you know, that the best is ahead of them? Why would they do that? And why do they believe that? They believe that because they look back everything that God had done. They saw what God had done. They heard what God had done in their lives, and they've come to that place where they say that God did not bring us this far in order to abandon us. They look back in their own lives. They realize the hand of God in 2025. They realize that they are still here. No matter what has happened in their lives, no matter how rough the year has been, God has kept them. And in their minds, they're thinking that there is no way that God would bring us this far to abandon us. And so they are hoping for the best. And I came by to talk to somebody who's had a rough year this year, who has had a difficult year this year, who has had some ups and downs in life. You have had some hard days and some long nights and some struggles and some disappointments. I have come by tonight to that God did not bring you this far in order to abandon you. May his grace shine upon you. May his grace be real in your life. Is there anybody today who believes that something better is in store for you in 2026? Amen. I believe God for better. Tell your neighbor, the best is yet to come. And why not speak it over your family, speak it over your life? God, the best is yet to come in my family. The best is yet to come in my life. Amen. So God has been preparing you for what he has in store. And here they are getting ready to move and take over Jericho and walk into their promised land. And in chapter 5, the Lord presses pause. It's amazing that they have this momentum of going forward, and they are looking forward, they're excited, and God presses pause. Before you move into this new day, the Lord says to Joshua, there are some things I need you to deal with. There are some things I need from you. Before I release you into a place of blessing, into a place of the promised land, there are some things I am requiring of you. Amen. Before I release you into this place, there are some things I need from you. And I believe on this New Year's Eve, Before the clock strikes 12, the Lord says to his children, there are some things that he's demanding of each and every one of us. There are some things that he wants to see in our lives that shows that we are ready for what he has in store for us in 2026. Amen. So from Joshua chapter 5, there are at least four things from what I read. There are at least four things that God demands of the people of Israel. The four things the Lord says he wants to see in our lives as we prepare for a new day, as we prepare for 2026. Amen. And four things, and remember, they're caught between Jericho is just Jordan is behind them, and Jericho is ahead. The Jordan is a big river, and they are in between, and Jericho is, they're looking at Jericho as they are looking there. And the Lord says, this is what is required of you. He says, number one, I need you to be circumcised. I need you to be circumcised. And now, circumcision is the removal of the foreskin of a Jewish male. And God is saying to these people, and some of them are 40 years or 50 years, I don't know where you are. And God is saying, I need you to pause. There has to be some cutting that has to take place. There has to be circumcision that has to take place. The Lord says to Joshua, before you all go in, everybody has to be circumcised. Circumcision is what identified them as the people of God. They needed to be circumcised. So he gives them some instructions in verse 2. But before Israel can step into the promises of God, there must be a cutting. There must be a cutting. Circumcision for the Jewish was a physical aspect. But for the believer today, circumcision is a spiritual aspect. Circumcision of the heart. And so God is saying, before you step into the blessings that I have for you, there has to be a cutting off of some things in your life, in your heart. It is the willingness to remove anything that compromises your walk with God. And so God says, remove anything that is not helping you in your walk with God. Whatever it is that was slowing you down in 2025, God is saying you can't take that with you into 2026. And so the Lord says, if you are not engaged in the practice of cutting off some stuff, then you are going to walk into the new season and you are going to look like everybody else. You are not going to be different. You are not going to be set apart. You are just going to blend in. You are going to just muzzle in with everybody else in the crowd. But God says, for my people, I want you to be set apart. I want you to be different. I want you to be peculiar. I want you to be a people that when people look at you, they identify you as the people of God. Amen, somebody. And so he says there has to be some cutting off. Listen, if you are going to walk into this new season, you have to cut out, you know, some of the things. You have to come out of the closet with your faith. You have to be willing for people to see you that you are a believer in your office. If you are going to go into 2025, God says you are not going to be ashamed of being a child of God. You are not going to be one who hides behind. Let people see you praying in your office. Let people know that you are a child of God, that you are a believer of God. The time of hiding behind and being politically correct, God says you can't take that with you into 2026. You have to be set apart. You have to be a peculiar people. That you have come out from among the unclean things, that people have to identify that you are different. Amen. And the Lord says the only way to show you are different is to start cutting off some stuff. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but there are some stuff that you have to cut off. Fear you have to cut off. Fear paralyzes a lot of people, and there are people here that fear has held you hostage. You are not able to step into that which God has in store for you because of fear. Doubt has to cut off. Worry, you have to cut that off. Bitterness, you have to cut that off. Anger, you have to cut that off. Unforgiveness, whoever, no matter how much you feel that you are justified to feel about the way you feel about what they did to you. And God is saying it's not right for you to take this mentality or to take these things into the 2026. You have to cut that off as well. So you are trying to walk into a new season carrying some stuff. God says you can't do that. I saw one lady at Heathrow one time and I was traveling and there was a brother who was, you know, as you were about to get into the plane, and the brother said to one mama who was there, one lady, a sister, a lady was there. She was not a sister, but a lady was there. And as she was there, she's carrying all these big bags. And so they said, oh, you can't get into the brother says you can't get into the plane with those three big bags. You're only allowed two bags. And she says, no, I want this. I need this. And so she said to the brother, I need a supervisor. Get a supervisor here. I need a supervisor right now. And so the brother went and called a supervisor, and the supervisor was a sister. And so the sister came, and the sister said, you can't take all those three bags. You don't need those bags. And she says, what's in the bags anyway? And she says, it's my shoes. And they said, you're not going to need them in the flight, so you can't take that. There are people here who are carrying things that you don't need in 2026. I want you to ask yourself tonight, even if I just take one point, I want you to ask yourself tonight, are the things that you are holding on to that you need to cut off? I go as far as to say maybe you need to cut some people off. You need to cut some people off, and you know, people that God says you can't go where I am calling you to go, hanging on to those people. You can't be all that I've called you to be, holding on to those people. And I say that if they are no good, you have to cut them. If they are not adding value to you, you have to cut them. If they are not, helping you grow and be what God has called you to be, you have to cut them. Amen. If they are pulling you away from your walk with God, you gotta cut them. Tell the person next to you, don't let me cut you. So before the clock strikes today, cut what cannot go into the new day. Amen. Here's number two. I'm gonna go quick. Number two, before the clock's 12 today, strikes 12, let God heal what hurt you. Amen. There's so much hurt that many of us are carrying, whether it's from people or whatever it is, and God says, remember these children of Israel, they've been cut. They've had this circumcision. And the circumcision is no fun, brothers. Is that right? They're acting like they don't know about it. All right. And so they have time to heal. And so they had to stay in that place and allow themselves to heal. There are things that have hurt us this year. We can't carry the pain, the bitterness, the anger about that thing with us into the new season. And so God says, do not move from where you are until you are healed, until you acknowledge that you have pain, until you acknowledge that there are things that have hurt you and you need to heal from them. Amen. And so he says, I can't release you until you have been healed of what hurt you. You can't go forward until you have dealt with the pain that has hurt you, the pain that has caused you suffering. And God says, if you don't deal with that pain will deal with you. If you don't deal with those things, you have to acknowledge that your heart was broken. That hurts. You have to acknowledge that you buried a loved one. That hurts. You have to acknowledge that you accept that some things you wanted so much you couldn't have them. That hurts. You have to acknowledge that maybe there was a fallout in the family and there was this dispute and you still hear what was said. That hurts. And God says, do not just bury your head down. Acknowledge that the hurt has occurred and I need to heal from it before you go into 2026. Amen. And here's what the Lord says. You can't move forward until you acknowledge you were hurt. Don't raise your hand. But if you know that 2025, you were hurt, just wink at me. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. We are one. We have been hurt. And the movement for forward starts when you begin to acknowledge that I am actually hurting. That there are things that are not right. That there are things that have gone wrong. And when we do that, God comes and he heals us and he puts us in that place of healing. Amen. Amen. If you don't deal with your hurt will deal with you. If you don't deal with your pain will deal with you. If you don't control your anger will control you. If you don't get rid of your bitterness will get rid of you. And so we have to bring it all to God. Amen. Now, I am disturbed by God telling these children of Israel that they have they have to sit still. Because remember, Jericho, they're looking at Jericho. Behind them is Jordan. And now they're in that place. And God is saying, I want you to sit still. I don't want you to move. I want you to heal. Why would God say, I want you to sit still when he knows that they are vulnerable? These men have never fought a battle before. They had never been in war before. They have not been in Egypt. They were born in the wilderness. And yet God says, I want you to sit still. And it seems to me, if the enemy were to attack, that this would be the best time for the enemy to attack. It seems to me that, like in Genesis chapter 34, remember the children, the brothers of Dinah, they waited until the men were circumcised, and then they went and attacked them, and they attacked them because they knew that men are weak when they are healing from their pain, and so they sent and attacked them. And the lesson here is that God says, "I will fight for you. I want you to sit still." And allow me to fight your battle. There's somebody here, you are trying to fight this battle in your own strength. You're trying to do this thing in your own strength. And God is saying, I am going to fight your battle. Can I give you the third one quickly? Yeah, the third one says, grow beyond manna. When you read that passage, it says in verse 12, then manna ceased. Remember, manna was just, it was heavenly food in the wilderness that God provided for them. God fed them when they could not feed themselves. And it only lasted for a day except, you know, on the Sabbath day where it actually went for 2 days. But God was teaching them that I am your provider. I am your provider. Trust me for daily bread. Some of you went through this year on manna. God stepped in the last minute. You don't know how it happened. You don't know how it all came about, but God showed up. You didn't have money. You didn't know. They were knocking on your door and they were telling you all sorts of things. And God showed up in the nick of time. God was there for you. But manna is not just bread. What manna literally means is a question. Manna is a question in Hebrew. It literally means, what is it? Or what is it? Where did this come from? Is it going to be there tomorrow? That's what manna means. Manna is uncertainty. Manna is a question you haven't actually worked out yet. Something you don't yet have an answer for. And so, could it be that God stops manna because he's saying by now you ought to have learned some things about God? That by now you ought to have matured in your faith? That by now you don't have to be asking the same questions that you were asking in March. By now you oughtn't to be in that place where you have come and now you are well established that God, I know the kind of God that I worship. And the faith that I have is not a man of faith. But I have come to a relationship with God where I know that even though I don't have something, I know that God is the one who provides. I have seen God provide this year. Amen, somebody. I know that God will take care of me. I know that God will provide. And God is saying, I am stopping manna because I'm calling you from questioning God. I'm calling you from questioning and wondering. And even in some of our prayers that we wonder and we are saying, God, where are you? Amen. Here's the last fourth one. Just 2 minutes and I'm done. It says the fourth one is, before the clock strikes to 12 today, lift a Passover praise. Very interesting here when God is calling them. He's saying, calling them to worship, remembering what God has done. Remember the blood and remember the Passover. Joshua says, these people are ready to go into the new day. But God says, pause. You need to have Passover meal. You need to have a praise. You need to have a remembering of what God has done. Now, when you look at it, you realize that the children of Israel, these children, they had not been in Egypt. These were born in the wilderness. They had, on their resume, they don't have Egypt. They didn't see the Red Sea being parted. They didn't see all the things that God has done and how God delivered them. And yet God is saying, I want you to praise me for something that you didn't even see. Something that doesn't even show. But things that you have heard about God. Things that you have heard that God is able to do. Amen, somebody. There is somebody here, God is saying to you, I need a Passover praise from you. The things that you have heard about God. The things that God has said about himself. And the things that you have heard people proclaim about the kind of God that he is. And God is saying, before 12 strikes today, you need to give me a Passover praise. You need to remember and say, God, I have heard that you are God who does this. I have heard that you are a God who heals. I have heard that you are a God who delivers. I have heard that you are a God who provides. I have not seen it yet, if you haven't. But God, I want to praise you because of what I've heard about you. Anybody here ever heard anything about God? Amen. Anybody ever heard anything of God? Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite, you can start coming now. So God is simply preparing you for a new year. And he's saying, this is not just another year. But this is a crossing. This is a Jordan moment for you. Are you going to stay and just maintain things the way they are? Or are you going to say, God, I am going to follow and do and get rid of the things that will easily slow me down? Let's bow our heads in prayer. If you're able to stand, just stand with me before we come to this moment. Ask yourself tonight and say, are there things that I need to cut off? Are there people? Cut what's been holding you back. Cut those things. Let God heal what's been silently bleeding and causing you pain. Move from manna to maturity and give God the Passover praise he is due. Just repeat this prayer after me. Lord, prepare me for a new day. Cut what must go and heal what still bleeds. Grow my faith beyond manna and receive my praise for what you have done. And as I step into a new year, I declare by faith the best is yet to come. I am preparing for a new day. Go before me, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.